What up, doe? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Hey.
Lift every voice and sing to heaven, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high at the listening skies. Let it resound, come on, Everton, loud as the rolling sea. Come on, you do this. You got that deep sing.
Go away from me with this. Okay. Go away from me. Stop it, Apollo. I don't want to hear what you got to say.
What is all that? Girl, it is Black History Month, okay? So I felt that it was important that we start off with the Black National Anthem. Okay, I got on my knees. I took a knee before we start recording, you know, and stuff like that. So happy Black History Month, y'all.
Yes, happy Black History Month.
Oh my God, 100 years
right
of the holiday or the month. Is it a holiday? Because like I was like, oh, so we, I mean, like, and I probably should have looked that up, right? Like, Black History Month, isn't it like a legislative month that is from like a governmental or like, because we don't get no time off or nothing like that. So is it, I know we say Black History Month, so it got to be some kind of legislation behind it. I guess I could look it up. But 100 years of Black History Month. And I don't know how to really feel about that. It's like, is that a celebration? Because we still need a month to, oh my God.
More than ever.
Right. Because of the rollback on, you know, I saw a clip of them taking down like a slavery monument thing in DC, like, and it was so sad because they was in there and they were just, I guess it was like an outside thing. I don't know exactly where it is, so I don't want to be misquoted, but it was like an outside display, and they were literally like taking this like equipment and like clipping it off the wall. they were removing it, and I'm just like, wow. And it was funny because it's like, why are y'all removing this? But it was also kind of sad, like, watching them, like, just think about that. It was really just words on a wall that they could just clip off and take away.
Right.
As if it never existed. That was just so funny to me. But, hey, y'all. Hey. We back, y'all. Another episode of What Works For Us. Y'all already know it's all Black.
All queer.
Yeah, okay, Emerson. I'm gonna leave it at that. Because our intro or whatever. But yes, the lift of every voice and thing. But and I guess too, Emerson, just go, like, it's also funny to me that they now make that a big thing during Super Bowl, like who's gonna see the Black National Anthem. It seems performative, right? Or am I like tripping?
No, it is.
Like, okay, because, you know, me and Everton both grew up in Detroit, and I remember I went to Ella Fitzgerald Elementary on the west side of Detroit, 313. What up, though? And I remember, right, them teaching us Lift Every Voice and Sing. And I remember that, you know, like learning about the importance and all of that. And then really, my whole adult, like... I mean, I knew that we had a Black National Anthem, but it wasn't really to 2020 and George Floyd and then, you know, Juneteenth and all of that. Then Colin with, you know, the NFL, then Jay-Z taking over, quote, air quotes. And now they have to sing the Black National Anthem at the Super Bowl. And but all those years in between, and I remember when it came out, people was like, I didn't know we had a Black National Anthem.
Yeah, so what was your Ashley Darby?
What was your relationship with Lift Every Voice to Sing like growing up? Like, when did you first learn about it? Did you have to learn the words? Did you ever perform it anywhere? Like, was it a thing growing up for you?
Every assembly we had, we sung Lift Every Voice. I was in Glee Club. So
you was in a Glee Club?
Yeah. So we sung it all the time. Every assembly, every time we would have to sing it. So I'm very familiar with Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Okay, so what about when you guys became an adult?
I didn't really hear it per se, but I mean, I knew it existed. I mean, it made duh, but I'm just saying, like, I knew it was a thing. Like, yeah, we got Lift Every Voice and Sing, but it's not something I heard all the time, or, you know, I don't know. I guess I didn't really think too much into it. Like, you know, like when Whitney Houston sung the national anthem, you know what I'm saying? It was just, okay, she did such a great job. I didn't think, like, oh, she should have sung Lift Every Voice and Sing. You know what I'm saying? But, like I didn't think. Well, I was too young, for one. But, yeah, I think it's good that we have it, though. I think now it's just like, you know, now it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Like, it's good we do have that. Because, yeah.
We need I never heard it. And then I felt like when I think about it now, I try to sing it like Shirley Ralph did at the Super Bowl. Like, she did it with so much diction, and, you know, she's such a, you know, Broadway singer, and she did a great version. You know, I feel like that's kind of a standard now, because I haven't heard no one do it like she did, but it was still so funny that it just became this thing. And I guess why it's still comical to me, because we don't really talk about, right, like, they're doing this thing, right, that the Super Bowl is mandating. And I feel like a lot of people still don't even know where it came from, like, especially, like, the new generation, Gen Alpha or Gen X, they don't know what this is. And I feel like the information is still not being put out there about what Lift Every Voice and Sing is. It's just something that we're doing performative, right? Even like, you know, I always go back that we probably talked about this before. Like, to be honest, until I moved to Texas, I never even heard of Juneteenth. I had never heard of it. They did not teach Juneteenth in Detroit public schools. It was not a thing. And then for that to become a national holiday, right? Like, I felt like they just pulled some, like, black stuff from back in the day and brought it up to the surface and made it, a thing. And I'm not necessarily mad about it. I just wish as a foundational black American that... It didn't feel performative, right? Like, I want to be proud of it, but it feels performative. And I don't know how to move from, like, oh my God, I want to go to the Super Bowl and listen to who's doing the national anthem, than me really going to see it for a key.
Yeah. Listen, I can only say so much, but I think that, you know, they just give us these little, you know, crumbs, and I think, you know, some people say we have to take it because we have to start from somewhere, and I'm like, okay, but I think if we get a crumb, we're supposed to make it into, like, a whole cookie. Like, you know, I don't think that we should just leave it at the crumb, and I think that could be the problem sometimes. To be honest, now that my generation is, like, the parents, like, you know, people my age, they have kids, grown kids. I think it was kind of our responsibility. Well, I don't have children, but their responsibility to kind of enforce, you know, or even mine too, if I wanted to get on the internet and talk about it. And some people do, but, you know, that stuff doesn't get pushed through the algorithm. But, yeah, I think it's our responsibility just to keep stuff like that and talk about it. And, yeah, us talk about how we used to have to sing Lift Every Voice all the time in school. Like every assembly we had, that's the only thing we sung. We didn't sing the other national anthem. All we sung was Lift Every Voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we should be saying that kind of stuff. That's why I kind of like being nostalgic, because it's like, I'm maybe not nostalgic in that way, but I like being a nostalgic person where I can remember stuff and I'm like, oh yeah, and I repost it. Oh yeah, I remember I used to do that. I was in school. Because I think, you know, no kids might not see it, but I think kids, young people should see more stuff like that. You know, especially from us, the people like that's from Detroit, where you right. know, it's blackity black. Like,
blackity black.
Know, we know things differently than, you know, what they know down here. Like, you know, I could really go into that. But yeah, our experience was just different, and it was very black in a lot of ways. And I think I just wish that, you know, it was more amplified what our experiences was, or even what it might still be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is a really good, like, I just wish it didn't feel performative. And then, like, even, okay, 100 years of Black history. And I guess for me, Black History Month really never felt performative. It really felt like a part of being a foundational Black American. And I'm saying that phrase because I don't know if you've been seeing, you know, since the Grammys, where Shaboozy was like, immigrants built this country, and it's this big thing. And me and you, in between our time off doing this podcast, you know, one of my biggest pastimes on TikTok is fighting the African diaspora from other places. Like, I've had beef with the Somalians because, you know, I have beef with the, you know, Caribbean folks. You know, when they say, I don't know how, I actually seen it, and this is what really pisses me off, right? Because TikTok is a place where you can find information. Somebody literally today got on TikTok to say, you know, they're Nigerian. They was like, I just don't understand why Black Americans don't know where they came from. And that comment or that question or that, you know, content, comment, you know, to, you know, what you build off of content to have engagement really fucking bothers me, because what the hell do you mean you been a Nigerian American? And this is, you know, and I'm going to call out, I love my Caribbean folks. I love, you know, shout out to all of the immigrants. Shout out to y'all being safe. Right, whether you're a Latin immigrant, a Caribbean immigrant, an African immigrant, an immigrant, you know, I'm not really thinking about, you know, our European immigrants, because I don't feel like y'all are necessarily the ones that's being impacted by ICE at this moment. I'm not judged. I don't know that to be a fact. So I don't want to just say, oh, ICE ain't going to snatching up, you know, people from, you know, Ukraine or Russian immigrants. I don't know that. I haven't done the research to say that. But it's clear that we know, based on the information that I have received, that it's more of, you know, Latin and Caribbean countries that's being affected by ICE. So it's not that I have an issue. I just have concerns, deep-rooted concerns about the omission of what it is to be a foundational Black person. How a Nigerian American can have the balls to get on Donald Trump's TikTok and say, I don't understand why Black Americans don't know where they come from. That bothers me. It is the audacity, it's the disrespect. And so I've been hearing everybody say, because, you know, we always respond, like, this African diaspora beef on TikTok has been going strong. Black History Month, let's be clear, is a celebration in its core of foundational Black Americans. We're not immigrants. This is our country. We were here before this place was a country. Black History Month celebrates Black Americans. And I'm going to leave it at that, because you know what? I think we can, we can keep talking about this throughout the month of February. And I'm going to address my beef with my brothers and sisters across the diaspora. You know, shout out to London. Y'all have a lot to say. Where y'all living in London like y'all from there. I'm a Nigerian and I live in London. But I don't understand what it is to be a Black American. You don't understand what it is either. You're no different. You just... Let me stop. So, you know what time it is. But happy 100 years, Black History Month. We're going to keep talking about it. Shout out to all my foundational Black Americans. And shout out to the African diaspora. Okay. These sounds that I get used to. I was like, ooh, what's that? But you know what time it is, Edmondson. It is time to what?
Check in.
What you going through? Over? What's popping on your end?
Oh. Well, my birthday is in 2 days.
Woo-hoo. Oh, shit.
I'm going to be fucking 42. And I'm so proud and happy to be able to say that. Outside of that, you know, I've been looking at I'm tired of all the just shenanigans on the internet, all the just stupid gossip and dumb shit on the internet. So I've just been finding other stuff to get into. So I've been following this lady. Her name is Anise, and she lives in New Jersey, and she's just a everyday woman. She has a job. She works at Amazon part-time. Nothing really that I would say, go follow her. But one thing that I've been following, and I kind of went down a rabbit hole with her, is I guess we're talking about Black History Month is like Blackness. And when I say Blackness, what I mean, like, well, she's in New Jersey and like, you know, they, all her family and stuff, they all work at the Amazon or whatever like that. You know, she get off work, she go in her backyard, and, you know, she got a barbecue pit back there and everything like that. She be playing her music on the weekend. She's like, I don't work weekends. I sit in my backyard, I'm gonna play my music. And it just reminded me of being home in Detroit back when we was younger. And you just going outside, and you on the block, and you going over people's house, and you got, you know, Miss Shirley down the street, and she in her backyard playing her music. She cooking some barbecue, got a little beer in her hand, and she's like, you know, how you doing? And, you know, how you doing? How's your mama doing? You know what I'm saying? Oh, she's fine. Da, da, da. You know what I'm saying? Like, just that whole vibe of being like in a Black neighborhood around Black people, just blackity Blackness, where your Blackness is appreciated. And you might not understand what I say when I say this, or what I mean when I say this, but it's just, I don't know, I need to get somewhere blackity black. I mean, I need to visit somewhere like blackity black, where I just feel like my Blackness will be appreciated. Like, people just will understand me, and me just being who I am will be just be understood as just being somebody who's Black, and it won't be looked at like I'm a science experiment, or, you know, a fetish, or that kind of stuff. I think I miss just being around just a whole lot of Blackness. Like, and it's hard for me to explain, but it's the simple Blackness. It's the simple, just, I'm not saying nothing that spectacular. I'm, like I said, going to Miss Shirley's house and having some cocktails in her backyard and drinking. Like, it just being around a whole bunch of Black people. They show her brother come over. This is my brother. That kind of stuff. Like, just that type of, we talk about, we don't know these, you know, people from diaspora talking about, we don't know our culture. That kind of stuff is like our culture. That's culture to me. When I was younger, you know what I'm saying? And family members coming, that's culture. You outside playing, and I'm outside playing with all my neighbors and stuff like that. My auntie's outside, the neighbors outside, we listening to music, the barbecue pit going. Yo, somebody, Uncle Pete come over. Oh, that's my Uncle Pete. He come over and he give us all $5. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of stuff. Like, to me, that's our culture. That's the type of stuff that makes me feel warm inside. Like, yes, I miss that. It is so simple. It doesn't, it's nothing expensive. It don't cost a lot of money. It's just something that simple. Like, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting older now. I'm like, oh, I just want all my friends to like move all in the same neighborhood. We just all get a house in the same neighborhood and we just be all together. We could just be outside and just, you know, go over each other's house and be drinking and doing whatever and just having a good time. Like, I've just really been feeling like that lady. And I don't know what that's about. It's the lady, Anise, she did it. She just made me feel like that. Like, I just want to be around some just good old, you know, just good Blackness. And we have it here in Austin. We do stuff with, I'm not saying like we don't do stuff in Austin where all Black people get together and stuff like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's just different when it's more Black people. It's even more Black people. And I guess people like Auntie's house and stuff like that, they're getting there also. But it's still, I think I need it from the East Coast. I need it from the East Coast. I'm sorry. No shade to the West Coast. I think I'm an East Coast girl. Y'all don't play Lil' Kim down here. Y'all don't play the East Coast people. She went to a club in East Coast. They was playing all the East Coast rappers, all the East Coast. I was like, I need to be around that. It just made me feel so good. So I've just been, reminiscing about that and just like, ooh, I just really, I just want to be around more blackness, be somewhere where I can be appreciated for my blackness. My, just all the weird things, because, my stankness, like, certain black people, they can appreciate that, like, you go on, you be around people and do certain stuff, back, I'm home, people would talk shit, but they would be right. Joking, like, damn, what's wrong with you, why you look so mad, why you so pissed off, that kind of stuff, I appreciate that little kind of stuff, like, oh, I miss it, so, I guess I'm just having withdrawals from blackness, But then, too, I haven't been outside either. I haven't been outside even here in Austin. I mean, I'm hibernating. So I guess maybe I do need to just get around maybe some people. But I don't know. I just, I'm about to work on that. Because blackness is something. I don't know if it's all the stuff, the world being on fire right now, me just making me want to, like, be around my community, my people. I don't know if it's just something instinct, like an instinct or something, or survival mode. I don't know. But I've been feeling it so strong lately. So I think that's it for me. That's what I've been at lately as far as my thought process. Blackity black, black, blackness. And I want it all around me.
I mean, you did a wonderful job of explaining black culture. That is black culture. That is, I'm thinking about everything you said, the block, right? The block. The ice cream truck outside. Like, yes. Something that's all you hear with the ice cream truck. When your uncle gave you $5, you go to the ice cream truck. When your cousins or your uncles came, they were playing horseshoe in the backyard, somebody playing dominoes, and just those little simple things that happened organically, right? I feel like being in a city like Austin that's predominantly white, and it does have the pockets of the blackness, but I feel like it has, like, it's out of survival mode. Like, not the survival mode that we're used to, because culture survival mode, but I feel like here we're just fighting to exist. And so when you think about, you were saying, like, we do have it here in Austin, but it's a lot of work to make this stuff happen, right? It's a lot of work for us to have a space, a black space, a queer space. It's a lot of work for us to get together. It's not, like you said, on the block, like in our DNA. Like it's almost like thinking, it's almost like what make foundational black Americans exist, because a lot of what they brought from, the slave trade, or what they, to get over here, they held on to those cultures and stuff like that, and they had to make those cultures exist in America. So it's like for us to take for us, it's culture. It's something that we wasn't there. So by the time we were born, it's our DNA. It's a part of who we were. And I feel like for us, sometimes in a place like Austin, we're like doing that same thing. We're bringing that Detroitness to here, and we're trying to make it happen here. Like, if I go to my mom's house, like, we're trying to make that feel like home. You know what I'm saying? And it becomes more work. And a lot of it becomes, we have to use a lot of our body and our emotions and a lot. Like, so it does, since we're still talking about Black History Month, it kind of like just listening to you brought me back to like what they had to go through. Like, all that work to preserve Black culture, right? And then not only preserve it, make it a part of where they are, right? Like, what, that now is what we say foundational Black America, because all of that stuff now becomes an American culture, a Black American culture. And the same thing, like, with us, we bring it with us, but it's the work, right? It's in our bodies, and I think that's what makes it feel different, right? Like, that's what makes you probably not feel like nostalgia makes you feel better, because it's less work that you have to do. It's less pressure for you to have to do that work. You just existed, the people around you existed. It was natural.
Yeah. It was natural.
You didn't have to make it feel like home. It was home, right, type of thing.
I think, too, not to cut you off, though, I have one thing I realized, too. I am a problem in that, too. And you, of all people, know. Because I'm so recluse. I'm so always want to be by myself. You know, self. I'm so cool with just being me or by myself. And I think that's something I'm like, I need to work on getting out of. Because it's like, no, I do. You know what I'm saying? I do want to create space for people that I love to be able to come and be around me and just kind of exist. And we can just kind of just, it nothing forced, nothing. We just existed. We just chilling. We having a good time. We drinking or doing whatever, talking. And that's just it. But it seems like, and I've gotten conditioned in a way to not want to do that either. Like, it, like you know, I'm, it's like, I've kind of gotten with the program here, but I'm up, when I was looking at her, I'm like, no, I don't think I really like that. You know, and you know, we're kind of, and it's nothing wrong with this. People growing and going here, going there, going here, going here, going there. I get that we might, you know, all end up being separated, but I don't know.
It's not preserving the culture. We're not designed for this. This is not what we know. This is not a part of our culture to be so separate and living these separate lives, right? We know the block. We know around the corner. We know the people at the corner store. We know the people at the liquor store. We know the people, you know, who drove the bus, right? We know the people in our neighborhood. Like, I don't know none of my neighbors. I don't know what's going on around me. It's just I exist, and then I move into a space where it feels comfortable when I, you know, link up with y'all and stuff like that. But it's not the natural, and that's what you were saying about, like, I feel like people like in New York and stuff, in Chicago, they kind of get the, even in Atlanta, they get to hold on to a lot of that because of, they do experience that way more than we would, right? That idea of knowing, you know, the bodega downstairs or the nigga who fucking everybody on the block or fucking everybody in the building. Just the things, you know, on... what a random Saturday you can smell barbecue and somebody downstairs playing domino is loud is and all those, you know, and they're not stereotypical things. Those things that make me feel like home, those things that make me feel safe and comfortable. Like I could just like listening to you talk about Miss Shirley. I think you said that was her name. Miss Shirley.
Anise.
AD.
Shirley was who was there down the street. Right.
AD, that reminds me. So I think it's embedded in us. And so when we have to make it happen, it takes away from that nostalgia a little bit. But I agree with you. We have to make it happen, right? Because we're only disservicing ourselves when we're settling for something that's not even culturally a part of us. Like that feeling that you have so deep within you, you're really just suppressing it, right? Like there's no, it's not that it don't exist. Like you've conformed to this Austin way of life or not just, you know, just, you know, non-neighborhood, non-communal way of life, right? That's not natural for you. So you're still in the unnatural. So it does take effort. But it's good that you do take breaks because, again, that's a lot of work that we have to do in our bodies to make something that's natural feel natural in an unnatural habitat, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of deep. That's kind of deep. So, well, we got some, you know, your birthday, Black History Month. So let's, you know, make something happen. When is Auntie's house? Is it this month?
It is. It is. I forget. It's not. I don't think it's next weekend. It's coming up though. If I do know,
I'm sneaking in my own liquor. I'm doing flasks, little pouches. That's one thing I don't like about those black festivals. Oh, those little, the liquor is be subpar. The lines be so long.
I
just don't like it.
Girl. It was lit. That's how we went. But geez, Louise, standing in line for 45 minutes for a drink that didn't even get me drunk. Like,
right, I can't do that.
Well, I think I got drunk when we went next door. Maybe that should be the next time I go there first, then go to RSRB. Because, but anyway, I feel you. It ain't even worth it going them lines and standing there. You don't even be drunk.
I'm taking a bottle. I hear you. Some way, I'm taking some liquor in there. But I'm trying to think about me. What am I doing? What's up? My check in. I know one of the big things that I'm working on is I know last year, from a professional standpoint, I took a lot of time out on going to conferences. I kind of just took, trying to create art, trying to do my, I took it off. I took all last year off, my professional development. So this year I'm going to be, going to more conferences, doing more presentations, doing a lot of consulting work, trying to stay in my bag. Because I feel like, in like nonprofit work or HIV advocacy and just art, like you got to keep going, right? Like, like we talked about in the last episode, I took the time to appreciate what I have done, but I do want to also focus on the things that I still want to do, right? And things that I still want to research and stuff like that. And I have to just, keep challenging myself, but not in a way that, like we talked about, not in a challenge that determines my success or something that I want to do to accomplish it, but more so challenging myself on doing things that maybe I'm afraid to do, things that I thought I couldn't do, or things that, I feel like I that imposter syndrome kind of stuff. So that's what I mean by like challenging myself, not challenging myself to say that, I do this, then I've made it here. That determines my worth or my success. But so I still want to do that. So I'm back in the thick of it. I'm going to DC, AIDS United to keep working with policy.
When is that?
I'm actually in Detroit in a couple of weeks. When is DC? It's in March something.
Oh, that's kind of soon. But I ain't too bad. Well, yeah. That might be kind of cold there still. Okay, but go ahead.
It's going to be cold. I'm actually going back to the D.
Yay.
In a couple of weeks. I'll be up there. I've never been to a conference in Detroit. So it's going to be, like, I've never actually done anything professional back home. Never. Right, because so this is going to be interesting to see, because I always thought, and I know we said this on the podcast before, like I remember graduating from high school with our infamous mayor at the time, Kwame Kilpatrick, which, become one of the most infamous mayors in the country, right? The biggest scandal. Who was his concubine again? Kimberly? Kim?
What's her name, Kim?
The Attorney General, huh?
Yeah, Kim? Something like that. Yeah. What's her name, Kim? I forget that lady name.
Okay. Well, it was a big old political scandal.
Yeah.
And so she, I remember him saying, like, don't leave, graduate here and do all these amazing things and don't come back to Detroit. Come back to Detroit. And I always say, like, wow, right? Like, so many of us did not go back to Detroit. so many of us.
Big Sean and Usher is doing some good shit in Detroit.
You said what?
Krishan and not Krishan. Usher and Big Sean.
Oh. That was in Detroit?
Yeah. They open some type of community center where they have studios where people can like record podcasts and make music and stuff like that.
Oh, that's nice. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying, like, to give back, because, like, we die hard Detroit, like, I represent my city. My first book was dedicated to Detroit. Most of my settings and my art is reflective of my time in Detroit, right? So I feel like, I don't know, the only thing that we always talk about is cold. Like, Detroit itself don't scare me, like, oh, the violence or anything like that.
Yeah, no.
It's the cold. Like, I don't want to live nowhere where it snows. And I seen an electric snow, a shovel. Have you seen those things?
Uh-huh. And I would have one. I would have me one.
Right. It's so cute because it just go like that with the little shovel, and I'm like, oh my god, you ain't got to, you know, sit down on no, like, you know, like the big shovel thing, but it's just a regular shovel that does the work for you. I thought that was so cute. I'm like, where was that at when I was growing up? And I feel like that invention, electric shovel, should have been around. I don't say like it took a lot to make an electric shovel, right?
It's heated. Right. Have you seen all those snow war videos on the online? I was going to show one today. Have you seen any of them?
I haven't.
Oh, wow. Okay. I might get it together. We can watch it towards the end, but go ahead.
Okay. But yeah, so that's kind of like my check-in right now, is really making sure I just do my thing and travel. I'm nervous because I know I'm big. I realize I'm a crash out. Like, when I feel overwhelmed, I do tend to just say I had enough, right? Like, I've experienced burnout at such the highest level that I told myself I will never get there again. So with that being said, I'm real big and like, enough is enough.
Okay.
I don't care what's supposed to be done. I don't care what's supposed to happen with West of the Mirror, what's supposed to happen with Ashwell, what's supposed to happen with La Band, what's supposed to happen with Pride and Blackpool. I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be doing that. I ain't doing none of it. And then what? Because then you realize the world keeps going on. Life keeps happening. Nothing stops. So, you know, we convince ourselves that we're just so important. All these things matter to the greater humankind. When you don't do that thing and you're not that person and you're not that available and you don't go to that event or you don't make this event happen, oh, the world is just going to, you're going to let so many people down. And then you say no and you don't do it or it doesn't exist. And you realize it's no, you know, you might get asked, you know, what's going on with that?
Okay.
But the world keeps spinning. The work keeps happening. And so once I learned that, y'all never get me burnt out like that. So, but I do understand I'm a crash out in my later years now, you know, being closer to your age, I've learned that I learned that I know how to
shut up, please, you're out of order.
I've learned how to shut it down with ease or not feel like I'm, some people might be let down. I'm okay with letting it doesn't work for me. It's not working for me. And that's okay. So that's where I'm at, you know, still trying to figure it out. So checked in. So what you got for us? You know, I just want to give a shout out to Emerson, our in-house producer. I mean, he's been producing this podcast for over 5 years now, and he's one of the best producers out here in the city.
Oh, wow. No, let's not say that. I am not.
So if you're looking for someone to produce.
No, see, that's why you don't say that. No, you're looking for somebody to produce your podcast. I found somebody today you can go to in Austin. It ain't me. I'll direct you right over to them.
Everything you don't want to.
Absolutely not.
That could be a little side hustle.
Nope, not for me. Well, okay, so what I want to talk about is this clip I saw of Kev on stage talking about how he went to the doctor and what the comments was that he got back. I was really appalled, to be honest with you, as to about what all the comments were. So yeah, I'm going to share. I just gotta make sure I got everything where I need to be. If y'all saw my screen, that's what I'm saying. If y'all saw what this screen looked like, you would see. No, absolutely not. I can't do this for nobody else.
Yes, you can. Absolutely think not. About it. Lift every voice.
Okay, no. We about to play this clip. Hold on.
Well, I can sing it between. Oh, hey, Kevin on stage.
Okay, so this is the clip. Let's listen and hear, see what these ignoramuses Negroes were saying about going to the doctor.
I had my annual physical today, so I tweeted that and said, black men go to the doctor. And some of these responses are a lot. Nigga got fingered and trying to tell us to go. Wow. Wow. I don't think you know what happens at a physical. Nope. Stay healthy by constantly working out, eat right, and be active. He said nope to going to the doctor. You should work out and eat right, but also getting an annual checkup is okay. You could have just said men go to the doctor. Smush. I'm a black man. Black men traditionally have a higher rate of not going to the doctor compared to, you know, women in other races. So I'm a black man talking to black man. That's why I said black men. Go to the gym, then you can avoid the doctor. Again, no. You can't screen for heart disease and cancer and things like that at the gym. Okay? I'm not saying don't go to the gym, but like, you can do both. Did you tweet this with a finger up your butt? Okay. Annual physical doesn't require fingers going on your butt. I think a lot of men don't know this because there's a couple responses like that. They do blood work. They check your pee, your vital signs. They ask you about your mental health. You know, sometimes an EKG, check your lungs. Things like that. You talking about a rectal exam, that's for prostate. And that doesn't happen usually till you're between 40 and 45. I didn't say that. Okay. Somebody responded under that. You can almost hear the moans as he's typing. Are y'all okay? Nigga said, go to the doctor in America. Lymphow. Sure. Let me take out a small loan of $10,000. Okay. Even without insurance, an annual physical is somewhere between $100 and $350. So not exactly cheap, but also not $10,000. Kev got finger banged. Have y'all ever had an annual physical? This is a common comment. I need to know what y'all think happens. Because it's not what happened to me on a Saturday morning. No, eat healthy and work out and take herbs. Not genetically modified, made chemical drugs that doctors prescribe you to take. Cool. Nigga just put a finger in his butt, no spit. Now he don't want to be alone. Is everybody okay? Is everybody okay? It's a scam. I'm good. Do you, though? Somebody basically said, no, that's why y'all be dropping dead. And he said, I won't. F them con artists. God got us. And to end, I was called racist. You know what? Don't go to the doctor. Don't go. It's your life. It's your life. Do whatever you want to do. Do what you want to do.
So, yeah.
Wow. You want me to respond to that?
Ignorant as fuck. Huh?
You want me to respond to that?
Oh, no, you go.
The homophobia speaks so loud within the black community. That, like, to take a straight man's journey to go in to get a physical. Straight married man, right? He's married, mm-hmm. isn't he? Mm-hmm. Taking his journey that he got on this God's green or Beyonce's internet, Trump's okay. TikTok, or whatever platform he's on, to say, you know, he went and got a physical, an annual checkup, and the homophobic innuendos were crazy. Like, they were so obsessed with the idea of something going up a black man's butt. That was 90% of what he decided to, you know, regurgitate or, you know, highlight.
Right.
And that is just bonkers to me, right? I mean, it's so clear, right? We know that that is just the default, you know, distraction, you know, what two black men is doing in a bedroom or what a black man is putting up his butt. We know that's been the biggest distraction before any of us was born. And we know we've experienced it all of our lives. But like I said, like I'm still always perplexed in like someone like Kev on stage where he has this following. And I'm not necessarily that I follow most of everything, but he seems to be a person that you could get a lot of information from, right? You know, you could listen, you know, hear what he's saying, then fact check yourself, you know, if you don't believe. But he seems to be someone that is offering, like, he's not necessarily a whole tap or giving you like these binary views, right? Like, you know, polar opposite ideologies around. Like, he's more so giving you, you know, everyday, you know, views and, you know, lifestyle and commentary that would affect just a normal foundational black man, you know, in general. And so for people, and I feel like a lot of people listen to what he's saying. I know probably women is probably his biggest fan base, of course. But for that, for all the black men to take that time out to disregard the health consciousness of what he was doing, to go and talk about what's going up another man's butt, is diabolical. It, like, we homophobia has such a big hold on our black community. It's crazy how they've programmed that. That this man's talking about a physical, and that's all they could talk about. That is weird. Because I feel like some of the things could be brought up. Like, that's why I really liked his response when someone talked about the $10,000, right? He kind of explained it, even without insurance. A physical is one of the most inexpensive appointments you can get. There is no, you know, there is no pressure to get, like, if everything is okay, right? You're not pressured to get a prescription. You're not pressured to go see a specialist. You're not, it's like going to get your vaccines, right? Like, you're not, those things you have to do at a low cost. And for, you know, that's one thing they kind of got right. Like, you know, just a basic physical is not going to kill you. Well, we know a lot of other stuff are going to kill you, financially, have you drowning. So, it, you know, and I don't want to be hypocritical on this, right? Because I feel like watching that video, and I love this topic, is because I've tried in the last 5 years, or even and sooner, or closer to that, and I've told you ever since, I've had a lot of bad experience about trying to prioritize my health. Like, you know, you go to this doctor, they take you to this doctor, you pay this copay, you go to this specialist, they tell you to do this, and no one's telling you anything, right? No one is, you know, so I get the frustration with the medical industrial complex. It is a game they want you to play. It is a game that is historically rooted in a lot of misinformation, a lot of mistreatment of people of color, a lot of, we know, eugenics, you know, the whole Tuskegee project where they, you know, did all, you know, talking about black history, you know, they injected all these black men with syphilis, right? And just treated us as lab experiments. We get all of that. But at the end of the day, you can have that information. Even with me and my own struggle, I know I'm aware, right? I know that the last time I went to the doctor, they would say, oh, you borderline high blood pressure. Now, I haven't went back because I've been trying to do all these remedies to bring it down before I get on, you know, medication. But at least I've been, right? I know the information. I am aware of what's going on in my body. You know, going to the doctor, like he said, the blood work, right? The blood work is going to, it's everything. That's, you talking about the gym, your muscles can't tell you anything that's going on with you without blood. Like, you, I watch every show, medical, Grey's Anatomy, Chicago Med. But the first thing that was like, can I get a panel? Let's get a blood panel, right? Like, yeah. You need a blood panel. You need a urine panel. Yeah. You need x-rays. You need, what the hell the gym is going to, a lot of people who are in the gym would die faster than someone who never be in the gym.
Right.
That's not guaranteed more life or better life. Like, Emerson, what you thinking about this?
I think y'all ninjas is really ignorant, and it's scary how ignorant y'all are, because y'all have children, y'all have families, y'all have people that rely on you to be here on this earth, and you're not doing things to make sure that you can, you know, try to prolong your life by going just to the doctor to get some blood work done. And there's so many, I don't want, you say you don't want to be hypocritical. I don't want to be hypocritical either and make it seem like I'm just so wanting to go to a doctor that's connected to the healthcare system in the United States of America. Because I don't. But there's options. You have options. You can get your own blood work done nowadays. And you can, I'm not saying be a doctor. I'm just saying go get your own blood work done. And you can use technology to help break down what's going on with you. And then you can go to a doctor then and be like, okay, I have these concerns about what's going on with you. Or, you know, that has nothing to do with your anus. Like, you know, and I'm not saying you shouldn't get that check. I'm just saying you have to take control of your health, period. However way you're going to do it. It's not...
It's yours.
Okay. Yeah, it's yours. So you can't... Okay, you don't want to... I'm going to go to doctor and he going to stick fingers in my butt and all stuff like that. Well, then that means, first of all, somebody made a good point. They was like, well, a lot of y'all must go to doctors and y'all are being SA'd. And y'all don't know y'all being SA'd. If you feel like every single time you go into a doctor and they's like, oh, let me put my finger up there. That's a... You have to take control of your health and you have to know what's right and what's wrong. If you know that you don't need a finger up, there's no need to check that. And they're like, they want to do it. And you just, you're accepting it. You're being SA'd. And that's something totally different than what Kev was talking about. He was saying, check
the
it
Ohio
out.
State. Remember the Ohio, remember I told you about that documentary I watched on HBO with the Ohio State football, the medical provider.
Oh, yeah.
Sticking his finger and grabbing all them boys' balls and stuff every time they got a physical, they were getting SA.
Yeah. So
they were getting SA.
And that's a different issue. You shouldn't go to, if you have an issue, you need to report that doctor. You have a whole little stuff, but that's not all doctors. You can actually go to a private doctor that's not even connected to the network. You might have to pay out of pocket. Now that, and it don't even cost $10,000. Trust me, I've done the research. So it don't cost $10,000. You might just pay a membership fee every month. And you can go talk to the doctor and, you know, you totally are in control. You talk to them, tell them what your concerns are. And they, you know, it's a totally different thing. Like, you got to just, but we're not in a position, especially, we're not in a position to be just talking about we ain't going to the doctor. Like, that just doesn't work. We're losing people at all these black men that we're losing at the age of 50. Like, is you want your life expectancy to be the age of 50? Did you hear that the guy that's in charge of when, what, where, Austin, the guy that runs that? Mm-hmm. Well, he has cancer. He has the same cancer that Arzell had. It's colon, and it spread it to his liver. So, you know, we can't be playing around just because you want to be homophobic and you're scared somebody's going to stick a finger, you know, slip you the finger. Like, that's just so, I just... That's just very alarming.
And why are you afraid of it? You need your colon checked.
Yeah, you do have to
even
get
that
checked.
That's my whole thing is, too, like, not to cut you off. Even if you shouldn't have to get that done often, but you think something like your butthole don't need to be checked?
Right, think about what it does. Nothing. It doesn't matter if nothing's not going. I'll be back there. It doesn't matter if you be back there.
It's back there though. You just because you're not back there, everything else that is back there is back there.
Right.
So that's my whole point. Right. Just because you ain't putting nothing up, it don't mean think of, you know, not to get graphic. Think about what it does.
Yeah.
So you need to know what's happening. Regardless, because you're not back there, if you don't want to put your finger up, which you shouldn't if you're not a provider, you know, but somebody else should be, you should be getting it checked. It's not a lock and key, right? Like, the balls, your penis, your urethra, all of these things need to be checked, right? It's not, it's a part of your body. You acted like that because it has nothing to do with sex. That your colon is an organ on your body that's functional to do what it's supposed to do. And so just like anything else in your body, any other organs or any other functions of your body that needs to make sure that it's doing what it's supposed to do properly, it needs to be checked. Like, why are we talking about sex? And even if we are talking about sex, it's like, it needs to be checked.
Yeah, because like, a lot of men don't even know that their prostate is a sexual organ. Like, they don't want to admit that. Like, yeah, right. That's actually a sexual organ. No, that ain't for me. It ain't for me. No, sir, you're a man with a prostate. It is. Like, it needs to be checked. Like, and they can, like Kev said, like, they could check that kind of stuff before they got to go up in there, because Funky Dineva is in stage one for prostate cancer. So, he didn't have anybody go up in there until, you know, they thought that they found something. So, I mean, but that's besides the point, because if that's what's going on with you, that's what's going on with you. Need to get a check. You got to have somebody go up in there to look in there and see what's going on. That's what you got to do, especially, you know, y'all mofos out here got 8-10 kids. Y'all have families to take care of and all this kind of stuff. Why is your health something you just willing to say, homophobia, letting homophobia stop you from being healthy? Like, that doesn't...
It makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
It's the most ignorant thing ever. And honestly, right, and like you were saying, like the alternative medications and stuff like that, and it's, you know, and I guess to be transparent, right, like right now, my grandmother, you know, over the Christmas break or during the holidays, you know, she was diagnosed with cancer and she's been given 6 months to live. And so with that being said, she, you know, she's also a woman that is, you know, someone living with paranoid schizophrenic. So she takes medications. And she had went to a guru specialist, like outside of somewhere, like in Colombia, but somewhere outside of Colombia, that told her to like stop taking on her, like they gave her like this stuff, right? Like he was able to not meet no blood work, no nothing, no exam, but he was able to just to look at her and say, "Oh, this is what you need." And gave her, and I'm not, this is, and what I'm saying is just my experience with my family. There's no shun to alternative medicine. I believe in alternative medicine. I do not believe everything that we, again, going back to culture, right? Going back to, we existed on this world for thousands of years before something was made up in the lab. But I do believe stuff being made up in the lab, because our life expectancy has grown over the years too, right? Like, you think about 100 years ago, people weren't living past. I mean, we can go all into that. But so she went to this alternative medicine person, no blood, no x-rays, no nothing, but he was able to just tell her by looking at her, I guess, what she needed. He gave her this concoction and then told her to stop taking her medication. And I wasn't really comfortable with that. My mom wasn't comfortable with that. It wasn't a comfortable decision that, because one, like the mental health, there's no way, like you just met this person. Like, I think it's always maybe a concoction, right? Like if I do this, do this. I don't think it's no one thing. Like, I don't think it's like this big cure to cancer. I think it should be. And maybe not, because like, what is cancer, right? That's so many things is cancer. So how could it be like this one thing that, you know, cure cancer? Because it's like, I feel like that's just a catch-all word, right? It's all so many forms of cancer, so many forms of the organs, so many forms of blood, you know, tissue, colon. So there's no one thing. I mean, that would be a powerful ass drug. That this one thing would make sure nothing in your body become cancerous, right? So I don't believe that it could even exist. But the idea that my grandmother would stop taking advice from her medical provider, stop taking her medication for her mental health that she's currently on, all to go with this guru, like put this big strife in our family. Like my mom and her sister didn't agree with it. My grandmother is agreeing with it. I personally didn't. I just don't understand. Like, I can understand holistic medication or alternative medication, but I still think blood should be drawn. Like, I still think it should have to be some kind of medical aspect to it. Like, if you ain't even seen my medical records, how can you look at me and tell me what to just put in my body? in 2026. I'm not saying that could have been a practice back in the day, but we are advanced. And so I feel like traditional practices mixed with modern medicine or modern technology, it should be the answer, right? Like, it should be somewhere that involves both, right? Because I just, you can't tell me you looked at me and created a potion that's going to save my life. I personally don't believe in that. Now, I do believe that you could probably give me some natural, alternative, holistic solutions and remedies that the doctor is not going to give me because they want me to buy that particular medication that costs $1,000 that they're going to get, that costs $20,000 and they're going to get $15,000 from my insurance and I'm going to have to pay $5,000 out of pocket and their pocket's going to get, you know, I understand the medical industrial complex where they have to prescribe me medication to keep a job. So I understand that they don't want me to know about the alternative, holistic, other remedies and options to a better life. But I don't think you looking at me and telling me to take this is an option. Is the only, it just doesn't make sense to me. It got to make sense.
Let me be clear. When I said direct doctor, I was, the direct doctors, they take blood too. Like, it's just,
right.
It's just a different, it's a, yeah, a direct doctor is just somebody who, a direct or private doctor is just somebody who's not within the system. They kind of, they don't, right. They, and I'm just saying for the ignoramuses, not you. I'm just saying because, no, what you're saying, somebody that's ignorant that was responding to Kev on Stage Post might say, oh, well, you know, I went somebody, he just told me to take this, and that's all I need. He ain't take my butt, and he ain't stick no finger up my butt. He just told me to take this, and I think that's what I need. I'm not saying that. No, you need to look at that blood. You need to get a full panel done and have somebody go over the whole panel with you. Like my doctor went, I love that he went, like, line for line, like, this is what this is. This is what this means. If this number was high, that means there's something wrong with you. But this number is low, so it's not. You good here. Like, get, or you could do it yourself. But so there's that. And then, too, my condolences for your grandmother. Your grandmother looked so good when you took that picture with her. She looked so good. I'm like, oh, she, you know, she had a cute little outfit on and she had her hat on. I'm like, oh, she looks so cute. So, but, you know, my condolences goes out to you. But she looked good. She looked so cute in that picture. So she didn't. She didn't look, you know, she looked good. I'll just say that. So, yeah, there's that. But, yeah, y'all need to get it together. And y'all have family members that's being like that. Y'all need to get it together, too, because, like, yeah, that's, well, I shouldn't even say this. But that's a whole totally different conversation. But my thing is, though, because if you get ill and then you start not being able to take care of yourself because something's going on with you or something like that, you're going to need your family support. So, you know what I'm saying? So, or you might not even have family to support you like that. You might have a family who don't really give up and you get sick and they just let you just be sick and ill. So, you know, my thing is it's best to be on top of your health so you can take care of yourself as best as you can. Because if something go wrong and then you have to rely on other people, you don't got nobody there that don't care because they think like you, I ain't nothing wrong with you. That's what they told you. They just want your insurance money. So it's best to just stay on top. That's why you need to be on your P's and Q's when it comes to your health. Because there's that, too. That's a totally different talk show segment that we could talk about, but I won't go there today. But, yeah, I just thought it was important that we talked about that. But go ahead.
No, I think it's really important. I want to bring up two more things, too. So I guess I would look in the camera and say, black men, you, myself, too, because I have missed my last appointment. But this is only within the year. So let's be clear. Like, you know, I am 40 now. Like me, Emerson said, like, I know one of the biggest challenges for me is to move my body more and going to the gym, right? Like, I get that. Like, physical fitness is important, right? But disease has nothing to do with the gym or, you know, your body malfunctioning, cancer, all of these things that happen has nothing to do with your fitness. It can, but it might not. Some of it's hereditary, right? There's nothing you can even physically do to prevent it because you were born with it, right? You know, it lay dormant. Now it's here. It's here. It's showing its ugly face. And so let's be black queer men, y'all too, right? Like, and don't think you are invincible. I feel like a lot of us, black queer people have this invincible complex, right? Like, we're going to be here. We're here. We're young. Nothing's going to stop us. You know, we look good. We know the 50 is the new 40. But as you look at it, people still dying. People still having complications. You know, I was looking at Celine Dion. Oh, my God, that hurt my heart. Like, I was like, why did that, you know, that she had that new syndrome, right? Syndromes, right? A syndrome, you can work out all day. And if it's a syndrome that just happens, dementia, right? Like, you need to, early signs of dementia, in which dementia is on the rise, right? Like, I know research is going, but I'm like, growing up, I never heard people having dementia. Now, I feel like it's almost, TikTok has opened my eyes of all the people that's battling dementia. It's like blowing my mind, and there's so many levels of it, but it's blowing my mind. But I think another tool that I want to put out here that I think is important for those who are like, you know, and you might still be icky about this, is AI. I think AI, like I was talking to a friend last night, while AI is not always going to be a Black queer person best friend because it's information that we didn't necessarily design and all of that, but if you're a person that wants to be in control of your own health, you can literally go to the lab, scan your results into AI, and they can give you information based on the lab. Like AI, and one thing you're going to hear me talking about, because I'm really passionate about, I want to get ahead of AI personally, because I feel like this anti-AI movement is going nowhere, right? It's just not. And I'm not talking about the music. I'm talking about, like, real shit. Like, AI is so, the stuff that we haven't have access to is going to be at the tip of our finger. And that's even medical, right? Like, you can go to your doctor and tell your doctor what's going on with you and stuff, especially when it comes to us Black people, because we historically haven't been diagnosed because of this, right? They feel like we could take extra pain or we could do this and do that. You can use AI as a tool. Remember, AI is just a tool, right? It's not the, you know, you can't just, don't become one of them. AI said, I did. Don't be that person, right? It's a tool for you to be more educated, for you to be able to take control of your health that fits you in a way that then you can present it to your provider. Or like Emerson said, like having your own personal doc. Like, there's so many alternatives. And I also want to put, I feel like AI is a really good tool. They are developing AI technology medically that works specifically for Black bodies. Like, people are doing that research, and it's happening. And so I think we need to get in front of that, because it's here, and we're going to be the ones behind on this anti-AI, when people going to be getting all the information we've been dreaming to have.
Not me, girl.
You said not you?
No, I can't. I work in tech. Right. I got to keep my job.
Right. And it's right there. All the information that we dreamed of is right at our fingertips. It's at our fingertips. And it's a tool. And I want to keep saying that, because even some people in my family just like, well, AI, I did it. Well, you, listen, we got to be skeptical, right? Like, we can't, again, that's why consultations are important. Like, get more than one opinion. More than one medical advice. More, you know, like don't go to one guru that look at you and tell you to take this, but telling you to not take your other medication. Like, what does that mean? You know, like, so yeah.
No, we gotta get on AI, people. I don't, that whole thing where they saying don't do it, I just keep quiet about it. Cause I'm not listening to that stuff. I'm gonna learn about AI deeply. Like, I'm gonna learn about it, and I'm gonna not only learn about it, I'm going to profit from it. So, like, I mean, it's like...
That part.
So I'm not... That whole thing where they, like you said, some people just want to be left behind. Oh, you go ahead and be left behind if you want to. But AI, we're in the middle of like a revolution with that. I don't get that y'all know that.
It's
but
here.
Like, this
it's
is,
here.
It's here, but I'm saying, no, it's just going to advance and continue as advancing right. to a point where people are just going to be left behind and they're not going to even know what happened. They're like, oh, well, I wasn't taking it serious. I didn't think it was going to be doing all that. It's doing a lot. And I'm not trying to make it seem like that. I'm just, go ahead.
I want to work on a resume, bitch. You know, you need help on, it's AI here for that. Like, it's some, the basic fundamental things that you were thinking was hindering you from doing something, how to balance a book, how to balance your checkbook. Like, it's tools being developed to do things that, to do your taxes, whatever. That you yeah, were struggling with as a person.
Like you said, it's a tool. I'm with you. It's a tool. And you still do, you know, AI hallucinates and stuff like that. So you do have to, you know, fact check it or sometimes go, you know, there's certain prompts you can use to make sure it's giving you right information, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, yeah, no, it's a lot of stuff you can do. So when people do be saying certain stuff, I'm like, you just couldn't get on ChatGPT and ask that. Or at least point you in the right direction. It might give you the wrong answer, but sometimes it'll point me in the right direction. Like, oh, well, it told me to go here, but when I actually went here, I found what I was looking for. Like, so it got me closer to me just trying to figure it out on my own. I'm just saying.
I agree. So all you finger butts, go to the doctor.
Yeah, take your ass to the fucking
doctor. People obsessed with the finger butts. That is just so funny to me. Makes me want to have sex, actually. All this finger butt talking. Like, where's the little butt? Put a finger in real quick. since we're talking about it, I like booty and I like finger in the butt.
They do too. That's probably why they keep talking about it.
Right. Clearly, right? Because I wouldn't even think this. I wouldn't even think someone who likes figuring a butt. I left that open. But I wouldn't even think to respond with that, right? And so the people who don't like it, that's the only thing they can think about when he said he went to the doctor for a physical. That is bonkers. But shout out to all the fingers and the butts. Make sure you sniff.
I guess. All right. So we are like a little over an hour now. And I don't know how long. If I wanted to talk about something about participation trophies, but I don't know if we have enough time. It shouldn't take long. But I don't know. Maybe we can save that to something else. And we could just talk something pop culture right quick. And then just end it out or end it.
Would you pause it or are you gonna edit this?
Edit what? But no.
You gonna be a part of the video?
They can know that I wanted to talk about something that we not gonna talk about or that we not
okay. Like, I didn't know you I'm just like, well, are you talking to me or
oh yeah, no, I'm talking to the listeners. I'm sorry. I had something we was gonna talk about and I don't know if we're gonna have enough time. So I don't know, but I was thinking out loud. But yeah, y'all can hear me think out loud. So yeah.
Emma said, you know, you're the producer.
Oh, yeah,
see,
no.
I'm not a producer like Emma.
No, I'm not trying to be perfect because I think that's the whole thing with this talk show situations that people talking about is talk show, daytime talk over and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of different opinions about it. I think for me, I think that one of the things that people like about the internet or coming to shows and stuff that's on internet is the rawness and that it's not so polished and that there are. I think that some people appreciate it. Some people still want that, maybe that daytime TV format. I just think that a lot of other people like it more raw, more open, more where you just kind of, they feel like they are part of the conversation they're in the room with you. So
a lot of people like it raw and open. I agree.
Oh Lord, that finger in the butt thing.
it kind of got me hot.
Right. Oh my gosh. Well, speaking of the talk show wars, we all know about one of the talk show hosts, Miss Jennifer Hudson. This past weekend they did that tribute for Mariah Carey?
She got her ass whooped.
You said what?
I don't think I've ever seen her get her ass whipped by a song in my life.
Girl, I can't believe what I saw when I saw it. I only have a clip. I just want to share it because, I can't. Let me get it ready because I just can't believe that she did this. And she tried to do the whistle. That was diabolical. I can't. But, this is J. Hud doing the Mariah Carey tribute. And what was that? What was that? Music Cares? What was that for?
I think Grammys, Black Honors, Music Cares.
That was part of Black Honors?
I don't know. It wasn't a Grammy weekend? I don't know.
It was Grammy weekend, but confused. I think Mariah had said what it was today. But anyway, this was her doing her part in a Mariah Carey tribute. I gotta rewind it and kind of play a little bit.
Did she start like whistling, like regular whistling? It wasn't even like a whistle note. I think she literally started whistling.
She started whistling, really, like a little tweet, like whoo, whoo, whoo. Like I can't even do it, but yeah, she started whistling like a Tweety Bird. Like she really, literally whistled, like whistle while you work. Like
that. And then she...
Girl.
That song whooped her ass. She was like, "Sign it up, bitch." I'm like, and I'm not the biggest, you know, I respect her for hustling, and I think she can sing. I'm not the biggest fan of her voice always, well, 90% of the time. But I've never seen her get her ass whooped by a song the way that she got her ass whooped. That song took her through. I mean, she was trying to sing it from the side. She was trying to sing it from... She was trying to put her whole body in it. Her hair was moving, and she was jerking left and right. And she just bust out with a whistle. Started whistling.
Why did she bend down that now? She's like...
She literally started whistling.
Oh, girl.
That is hilarious.
Girl.
That's hilarious.
Y'all need to get y'all faves. This is what I was going to talk about. Participation trophies. Y'all just be going out there clapping for people and giving they tens when they don't deserve it. That was not a 10 out of 10 performance. Y'all want to give it up her just because she's Jennifer Hudson and she can sing. But girl, baby, no. Not that performance. That
was it. And I wanted more information because it was a big debate. Because, you know, I was with Anya and Vaughn. Shout out to Anya. His birthday was yesterday. Over the weekend, and of course, you know, we always talk music, right? And I want to know, I think it needs to be a little bit more transparent now about how much of the artist and the producer of the actual tribute contributes to these tributes, because it's starting to get completely out of control, right? Yeah. Like, it's not even making sense anymore to a certain degree, right? Like, the idea that Kesha was performing for Mariah Carey just makes no sense, right? Wow. Like, I don't see the historical connection. I don't see the vocal connection. I don't see the music style. I don't see, like, because I know, like, tributes has always been two things, right? Like, if the artist got a project coming out, right? Like, that's usually a person who's usually available for a tribute. Or they connect with the artist, they worked with the artist before or peer. Like, it's been like, it's not always been like everybody you expect to do the tribute, right? I get that. It's always like some left fields. Like, you know, if Usher had a new album coming out, he might come out and do a tribute for somebody that he's not. That has always happened, right? Because their manager got them on with the producer of the actual, whether it's the Grammys or the VM, whatever. But at this point, I'm starting to see the tributes in a way, especially with Mariah Carey specifically. I think, one, she's having too many at the same, like, I can't, I don't know what she's getting tribute for now, because she's, you know, she's in this tribute era, but it's starting to merge, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, 5 months ago, Money Long was singing a tribute to you, and then she's coming out with parody videos, and then 5 months later, you got Kesha and Charlie Puth, and, you know, Billy Porter, who just, another one was, you know, just not, you know, I was seeing somebody that was talking about Billy Porter, like, Billy Porter, like, you know, I read his autobiography, and I know what he was vocally, I know what he brought to this industry, right? Like, I don't want to discredit Billy Porter in his heyday, but I think he needs to sit down at this point, right? Like that just was not, like, somebody was saying TikTok, like, he's performing a caricature of himself at this point.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's not Billy Porter, right? Like, the people not, you know, this man is a 2-time Emmy vocal beast. Not Emmy, 2-time Tony. You know, he does have an Emmy and all that, but you know what I'm saying? And so I really want us to figure out what's happening with these tributes. Like, is it, I mean, you always talk about they don't have the people, they're not getting the people, or, like, and then somebody said, well, Mariah Carey has a choice of who she wants. What's going on?
I think that's a lie. I don't think she chose them. I think Mariah, that she was trying to be nice this time, because after what happened last time, that's like she was trying to be nice so people won't try to rip her to shreds for being a bitch. But, and then they had Shantae Moore there, and they had her do the Busta Rhymes song. I'm like, girl, really?
That made no sense. And then she's like, she can sing, but the song is not her song. Why would Shantae Moore be singing one of Mariah Carey's most deepest, breathiest songs? Like, you know what I'm saying? Shantae Moore can still sing. She should have been singing Vision of Love.
Right.
If he would have actually did a whistle note and not actually whistled.
Girl. Yeah, that was a hot mess. And since we're talking about Mariah, I have another clip of her homegirl, J-Lo. Because J-Lo has been doing her thing in Vegas. And I just think that we should sit and talk about it. So, yeah, let's look at J-Lo. It's going to be some commentary from a guy. I don't know if you know who he is. With Adib Unsolicited. You know who that is?
Who?
Adib Unsolicited. You might. Never mind. I'll just show him to you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I know him.
Jennifer Lopez is a delusional chaos demon. Even in the middle of America turning into a fascist nation and collapsing on itself, she's found a way to be the center of attention.
You didn't get stabbed,
Vlad,
right?
Shut the fuck up with that shit.
Okay.
Jennifer Lopez is in the middle of her Vegas residency, and she is, instead of going out, giving us 1-2, dancing and spinning and going back home, she's trying to convince us that she's a powerhouse singer by singing live. As someone who works in music, I am vehemently for many people lip syncing. And J-Lo, you should definitely be lip syncing, girl. There is no reality that you think this sounds good. Why are you screaming like this on stage and you're smiling as if you're doing well? I blame Stevie Mackey. I've blamed him for years. And Stevie, if you see this, I love you still, but I blame you. The residency seems to be packed every night. And J-Lo is a legend in her own right. She is a powerhouse performer and entertainer. She has made a career off not necessarily being talented in many ways. So I respect her for that. But y'all going to the Vegas residency and selling it out and listening to her scream? She even tried to do an a cappella version of If You Had My Love. Now if I give you me, this is how it's got to be. First of all, I won't take it cheating on me. You play me for a fool. Yeah, you said that we. So, what's your sentence for her?
Electric chair.
Oh my God.
All I will say is that this was a nice reprieve from all of the energy that we've had in America today. But J-Lo, please, just go out on stage and dance. Look great. You look amazing. Put on your outfits. Do a little turn. But just don't sing live.
J-Lo. J-Lo has turned me. I used to like J-Lo. Like, I really did. I think it went left when she performed. Was it the NAACP? What did she perform? It was like a black tribute.
Motown 25 or Motown 60.
Motown 25. I think that was the beginning of my disconnect with her trying to prove something. I feel like it's so evident. I don't know. I you had a failed tour and you turn around and do a intimate Las Vegas residency. I feel like she won't stop.
No, she's stopping.
And I don't know why. It's the weirdest thing because she's not. I don't feel like her career up until now wasn't one of them careers where she had to prove herself. Like, it kind of spoke for itself, right? Like, she would come out with a movie. She would come out with an album. Yes, she's 50 plus, so it's not going to be like the 90s or the 2000s. But it was going to. She's a legacy artist at this point. And I've never seen a legacy artist move like this. It's disturbing.
Well, they're selling out her Vegas residency. And the reason I had to use his clip is because I couldn't find that clip on my own. I feel like they scrubbed the internets of that particular clip. And they only had the clips where they was like, and who said J-Lo can't sing? And all this type of stuff. They had this other clip where she sounded better. It wasn't that much better, but it was better than that. And so I'm like, okay, so it's, you know, I was gonna talk about participation trophies. Y'all keep trying to give her 10s for her being a vocalist, and now she thinks she is one. And that's the dangers of giving out participation trophies when they're not warranted. Just because we don't have to, we could critique her. I don't know what's this thing about people not being able to critique their faves. Like, I don't understand that. Like, you just tell them to do anything. Did you see that? Not to get off topic, but did you see that clip of Brandy talking about why she doesn't sing The Way You Touch Me live?
I loved it because I was wondering the way she explained the Full Moon album, how it was, he basically made her record the album out of her range. He pushed her. So she has PTSD from that album. It makes sense. Because she was singing. She was singing on that album.
Okay.
She was singing.
Okay.
He was like, hit that note. I need you to go there.
But see, she has the restraint to know when she can and cannot do something. Her being the singer she can say, I can't do that the way I gotta figure out how I can sing it in the way that's going to sound good. Y'all just let J-Lo go out and just scream to the top of her lungs, and she's a vocalist.
But not to get off topic with that, but Tamar, like, I want Tamar to see that clip of Brandy. Like, I just wish. Or even Mary J. Blige, sing the song how you can sing it now. It makes no sense. I think Tony is the master of that. Definitely Brandy is the master of singing a song. Then Brandy would never sing a song out of key. Never have you seen Brandy sing a song and be like, oh my God, she was bad. That's impossible. No. And they were talking about how she the vocal Bible. Give me a bad vocal performance from Brandy. You could say she was lip syncing. Well, according to our homeboy, sometimes if you got a lip sync, then lip sync, right? I'd rather you lip sync if you can't do it versus for you. Like, it's almost like Beyonce is another example. Beyonce don't give bad vocal performances because they know how they spend the time to do a song for their voice now, right? And I feel like that is so important, but there's so many artists, and I put Tamar number one on that list because you hear, we know Tamar can sing, but I feel like she doesn't take the time to, what you call that, break a song down to reconstruct it to where she is now. Because I feel like a lot of them songs on Love and War was out of her range. Even Love and War itself is a very high song. Who's going to fucking sing Love and War at that, in that key night after night?
Yeah.
It's going to be cracks all over the place, right? And I feel like Brandy was the first artist to actually say it, where I feel like Beyonce has mastered it. Like, you would never hear a bad vocal from Beyonce, but specifically because she knows she's not, first of all, she's not going to give it to you, right? Like, bitch, it's not going to be a clip of a bad vocal from Beyonce. And I feel like even with Tony's limited abilities, she has always been a person that will break the song down and take her time with it now. Like, it might be a little too slow, but baby, she gonna get you there based on her voice now. And I just, J-Lo, the thing is, to even be having a vocal conversation, because now I just thought about what I just did. We went from a vocal conversation about J-Lo and Brandy, Beyonce, Toni Braxton. That is horrible, right? That is the loop. Like, she shouldn't even be trying nowhere to put herself in those kind of conversations.
Right. Nowhere near that conversation.
So she can stop all that yelling.
Yeah, she's to stop all that yelling. J-Lo, come to the fronty. Come to the fronty. Stop all that damn yelling. That does not mean you're a vocalist. I don't give a fuck what Steve tell you. Stevie Mac.
They be in that house with them. They be in that LA house with all them acoustics, you know, and they be just yelling. It sound good on that little, that, you know, that acoustic in that that house. Okay. Girl, it's not translated. And don't ever do a acapella emotional breakdown of If You Have My Love. I need to hear, if you had my love and I gave you all my trust, would you comfort me? Like, give me, and they go, chicka, 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 chicka. Give me a breakdown. Right? You need to do a breakdown, not no breakdown vocal. No, I need a breakdown thing.
Right. Who told you to do that, J-Lo? Stop. Stop it. Stop the insanity. Please.
And just sit down. Take it, like, you ain't got nothing to prove, J-Lo. You are a legend, girl. I don't know why you're coming off the worst.
She want to be a legend as a vocalist. Girl.
You would never. First of all, you had Ashanti doing your background vocals. You were doing Ashanti demos. How could we go from Ashanti demos and background vocals to you a legendary vocalist?
Yeah, no. Because Ashanti be doing that same shit, to be honest, be yelling and thinking that she's being a vocalist. But I'm gonna leave Ashanti out of this because it's Black History Month.
Ooh.
Oh, that's we did just talk about J Hood though. But anywho, right. Okay, so I just got one more thing.
25, so I mean,
girl, J Lo, stop. You need to stop it, as Meredith would say. And stop, speaking it, of Meredith, I want to talk about one more thing. That made the news. I sent it to you yesterday. I already have it up. Bronwyn and her new man.
Is that literally her new man?
Somebody, I don't think people would have said that if it wasn't. That's what got me. People said it. So somebody, maybe Bronwyn, put that bug in their ear, and that's why they said that. And this is my, listen, I ain't mad at her. Girl, get the dick. Get what you gonna get. I just wanted to tell you, Bronwyn. Girl, you just... Listen. This is your man, and he's nothing
he
like
you. I mean, it definitely... she went from one end to the other. He looks younger than her.
Right. Girl. This man, honey. Let me tell you something, Bronwyn. Come here. Come to the front seat. This man... You need to get on Brazzers, and you need to go on Twitter and go look at you some clips and get some tips, because, girl, that shit that you was doing, Ty, is not going to work. You can't go in a bedroom wearing a little costume and do a little slow strip tease, and then he just is through before you even get to him. That's not going to work for this one. Look at him.
Right.
That ain't going to work. He's going to put you through the mattress. Right, girl. You bet not be whack and lay in that bed flapping like a dead fish out of water. You better... Look at you some clips. Go to Twitter. Go to Brazzers. Make your playlist and do what you got to do. Because, girl, I'm here for it. Girl, get you some dick. But that shit you was doing, Todd, is not going to work with this one. That's all I got to say. Did you have anything? Well, you don't necessarily believe it. I guess we can't necessarily believe nothing that Brown would say. I mean, she be lying. But I'm saying if you going to play.
I thought that I'm not her man. I just didn't know. I didn't do enough. When I saw it, I've been seeing it. I didn't know if he was just a fan or that was her man. I didn't see nothing but this picture.
Oh, yeah, no. People says that they've been dating for a couple of weeks. So I'm like, girl, if he's putting you through that mattress, girl, I just hope that you are putting in work and you're not just laying there like you laid with Todd. Look at some clips, girl, on Brazzers and make it work. But that's all I wanted to say about that. Bronwyn, because all the girls are talking about on the internet. But, yeah, I guess we've come to... the end now.
Well, if we're at the end, everybody, can y'all join me with the celebration? Because by the time we record again, Emerson's birthday would have came up. So we start off with Lift Every Voice and Sing, and we're going to end with the Stevie Wonder's Happy. Three, let's go. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Emerson.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll be fucking 42 the next time we record. So, yeah, there's that. But, yeah.
Mid-40s. I'm proud of you. You made it. All right, y'all. Thank y'all for checking out another episode of What Works for Us. All black.
Y'all. All queer. We'll holla. We're out. Holla.